The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nichol here in the studio. We also welcome to the programme Gamar Cortian, Yana Agafyortov, and we'll kick things off, shall we, with the front page of the Spanish newspapers today, all about Kylian Mbappe. Tony Cruz on his podcast said maybe a player from Paris will be joining us. Meanwhile, Asseng, Real Madrid, never give up. Gab, we heard Florentino Perez, of course, with his Super League malarkey, saying, look, we don't have any money, pleading poverty. Yet we keep seeing these stories about Kylian Mbappe and the possibility of him moving to Real Madrid this summer. How on earth financially can they even think about getting this done?
To be honest, Dan, I think the only way it gets done this summer, and there are a lot of ifs involved there, but Kylian Mbappe becomes a free agent on June 30th of 2022. He's got a contract sitting right in front of him from Paris Saint-Germain. It's a contract extension. He has not signed it. If he comes out and he says, look, I am not going to sign this new contract, Paris Saint-Germain, I definitely will not sign it. So you can either let me go and get nothing back from me on June 30th, or you let me go now, you save on my enormous wages, and you get a fee back. Now, it's not going to be $150 million because you just have a year left, but you have some sort of reasonable fee, whether it's $40 million, $50 million, $60 million, whatever it is, far less than his market value. I think that is the only way that this can happen. It seems far-fetched to me, but, you know, Messi leaving Barcelona, joining Paris Saint-Germain seemed even more far-fetched, so Who knows?
Listen. Why would PSG bother their backside about 40 or 50 million? Why? You've just brought
them. But it's not 40 or 50 million, Greg.
Well,
it's 40 or 50 million versus zero a year from now and Mbappe's wages for this season.
Yeah.
So all in all, I think their savings this year alone would probably come out to, if it's 50 million, let's say somewhere in the 70 to 80 million on salary alone, versus the prospect of getting zero a year from now.
Right. Do they need to make this saving for financial fair play reasons?
That's one of the big mysteries. They say that they're compliant, they will continue to be compliant, blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, that's a big dark black box. We don't know what financial fair play is going to look like in the future.
All right, so my point being
it's a tough one to answer.
My point being is, why would they give us stuff about 40 or 50 million and his considerable wages when they are loaded with cash, when they're already paying Neymar and Di Maria and now paying Lionel Messi a reported 1 million sterling or thereabouts per week? Why bother for 40 million? That's what I'm saying. 40 million, 50 million, 70 million to them is like $20 to us. So why not just keep them another year and say, OK, let's see what this Messi, Neymar, Mbappe trio looks like. Let's see what the success brings, because ultimately we've got as much, if not more, cash than anybody else. So really, why not just wait and say, OK, go on a free transfer?
So what's the question? What's the Champions League worth to the owners?
Right.
Because if Mbappe stays, the chances of them winning the Champions League will stay where they are as favourites. So is it worth 70, 80? It's got to be worth 100 million to the owners of PSG to have the Champions League trophy sat on his desk. It's got to be.
From a Real Madrid perspective, though, they know that Kylian Mbappe grew up supporting the team, wanting to play for Real Madrid one day. Do you go to him and say, you speak to your bosses and say that you want to get out of Paris, or else this time next season, instead of picking you up on a free, we're going to get Erling Haaland?
No. Listen, if I'm Kylian Mbappe, And by the way, he seems to me as if he's got a fair amount of arrogance about him. Too much of late, actually, on the field, if I'm being honest. Then you just back yourself. OK. You're threatening me. There'll be others. Right. They're going to be... You go and get Erling Haaland. You do what you want. But I'm a free transfer next summer, and I will have pretty much the pick of who I want. My point being is, and Stevie just nailed it there, what's the most important thing to them? There's 40, 50 million. They can drop it away and go, oh, who cares? But we're going to keep you here because we've just signed Messi.
Right.
So I see that as a scenario. And by the way, what does Tony Kroos know about Real Madrid transfer policy?
Well, they're in a chat to him about it. We mentioned Haaland. The alarm goes off as, of course, we're joined by his nemesis after upsetting him in that interview at the weekend. Jan is with us. Jan, why is nobody really pushing the boat out for Haaland this summer? Why not? We discussed it yesterday. Manchester City, why not just go for him? Forget about Harry Kane, go and get Haaland. Real Madrid, if you've got the money for Mbappe, then surely you can go and push and get Haaland this summer. What's going on?
Well, first of all, it has been tested by Chelsea, and Dortmund was very clear that they didn't want to sell him this summer. So that has been tested, and rumours goes around. But I agree with you. Why on earth is Manchester City not waiting to get Haaland next summer? I mean, with all the problems in and around Harry Kane. But it's quite interesting, the discussion here, because the clubs are blocking places for strikers. I mean, Manchester City with Kane, Lukaku to Chelsea, maybe Mbappe to Real Madrid, and that's the moment when Bayern Munich keep moving, and they are used to get the players in Germany, and will of course try here again and to see if they can get him, Erling Haaland, going to them. But they have another problem, which is bigger, because they have already a great striker, maybe the best number nine since Marco van Basten. They got Robert Lewandowski. He got a contract in 2023. And I am in Munich at the moment. I have a couple of meetings today. And what I have confirmed, which is not like we are surprised, but Robert Lewandowski is not very happy that at the same time that he's beaten the record of Gerd Müller, 41 Bundesliga goals one season, he's shooting them to everything. Then they are publicly talking about his replacement. And that is one of the reasons that there comes some signal out that maybe I need a new challenge and so on and so on. He is not very happy that they are publicly talking about Erling Haaland.
Bayern Munich fans would love it. Wouldn't be great, would it?
Is anybody
if Haaland goes to Bayern Munich?
Yeah, but they love Robert Lewandowski as well.
Yeah. What? Was you in yesterday?
Yes, I was in yesterday.
Did you steal our conversation from the day before?
What was your...
About Grealish and... Grealish and Kane?
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
No, I didn't. My point was, basically, go and get Haaland now. Don't faff about, don't worry about Harry Kane, go and get Haaland now. And Jules' point was, if you wait for 12 months, you could still get him then, and it just... I don't know.
Can I ask a question? How's Bayern Munich come into this with Erling Haaland? It goes against the whole history of what they do to go out and spend crazy money on Erling Haaland, crazy wages, the whole thing. That's not been their...
But they poached the best team, the players in Germany. That's what they've done all their lives.
But Dan, if I may, I mean, yeah. This is the only... Stevie, it's a fair comment from Stevie. But still, this is for Bayern Munich the most realistic thing they can do in a market, because remember, the Super League is gone, but there is still a Super League with Chelsea, Manchester City and PSG who can buy any player. Bayern Munich can't take any player, and they see if they get him for 75, 80 million, that's the most realistic thing they could do. The only problem is that they already got the best striker in the world. So, and Salihamidzic has a job to do in the next months.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bayern are in the race for sure if it's the release clause price or thereabouts. I don't know if that, as Jan said, and Stevie pointed out, I don't think they're in the running to spend, I don't know, 150 million plus.
No.
But I don't understand, and the City thing I don't understand, and maybe somebody can explain, is why waste the money on Grealish and Kane when this guy's a hotter property than both?
Yeah,
and you said that.
It seems the most obvious thing, right? It really does seem obvious to everybody.
Yeah, and Craig, you've said that all along, that because you have a 21-year-old, you will get maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and you know he will score goals for you. Harry Kane, great striker, but he's still 28, and all the problems that it has to get him. I can't believe that Manchester City is not waiting and try to see if they can get the son of a former Manchester City player.
Gav?
Yeah, I wanted the same thing, and I agree. It makes absolutely no sense. The valuation is just absolutely over the top, given Harry Kane's age. The only possible explanation, and where we really are in the realms of speculation, is this, and I'll submit it to you guys. Haaland and Mbappe are nice, and obviously you would rather get those guys than Kane if the money's going to be the same. However, they're unlikely to move this summer, whereas Harry Kane, or so City believed, was likely to move now. What if Pep feels this sudden urgency? What if Pep says, look, I don't care about 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I don't care about the long-term Haaland makes more sense. I want to win straight away. I don't know that I want to be still the City manager in 5 years or 10 years, maybe even 2 years. I want to win now. Everybody else is down. Everybody else has got issues except for Paris Saint-Germain. Let me go get Harry Kane right now and take another shot at the Champions League that I want to win.
That's
the only explanation. And since Pep is a deity, he does what he wants.
It's the same question as we're talking about PSG. How much is the Champions League worth to PSG?
Right.
And it's the same thing with Pep. How much is the Champions League worth to Man City winning it this year as opposed to having to wait 2 or 3 years? How much is it worth to them?
Everybody says, right, Jan, Dortmund are pretty, obviously, extremely keen not to sell him this season. The player doesn't seem in a desperate rush. But Jan, what figure, for example, would tempt Dortmund to say, oh, OK, let's think about it? What are we talking about here? 200 million?
Well, we talked about it since the Champions League final, didn't we, Craig? Because I knew 100% they were going for Erling Haaland. They tested them out and they were talking about 150, right, which was the price they did. And then Dortmund did their maths and saying, well, we want to keep it another season because we want to get into the Champions League, blah, 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 blah. And then they sold Jadon Sancho, which kind of helped them out of the first debt from the pandemic. And then just out of the blue, suddenly Matthias Sammer, who is an advisor to the CEO of Dortmund, Watzke, he suddenly said, well, if someone get in with some crazy offer, we probably will let him go. I'm not sure. I'm 100% sure that Team Holland knew about that. And then he suddenly said, well, we're talking about 200 million. That was just an amount. But I think that we are talking 150, 160 million euro. But they won't sell him because Dortmund has shown before, when people are talking about Dembele and Aubameyang, they were striking their way out of the club. They got a fantastic amount from Dembele. They bought him for like 25 and sold him for 120 or something, which was unbelievable. But that won't happen this time because next summer it's Team Haaland who decides what they want to do and to which club they want to go.
And on top of that, Jana, you're 100% correct. What I would just add to that is in terms of Team Haaland, which is obviously Haaland Senior and Mino Raiola, those guys are going to get paid. When it comes to somebody like Haaland, and we saw that when he moved with a release clause to Dortmund, you have to factor in, if you're the buying club, you have to factor in the transfer fee, you have to factor in his wages, and you have to factor in the commission for Team Haaland, and especially Mino. And that commission, if he's only going to move for seven, all the money comes out of the same pot. If he's only going to move for 70, 75, 80 million rather than 150 million, he's going to say, oh, look, there's a lot more money left over for me, for my commission, and there's a lot more money to pay Erling Haaland his salary. And so Team Haaland has zero incentive to move this summer. Dortmund, I think, understand this. It would actually be financially, it would be their incentive to sell him this summer rather than sell him for less next summer. But as Jan points out, there's a lot of reasons why that's unlikely to happen. So they're justified in saying, no, no, we're not going to sell.
And I just want to put something in. One thing, but it's not all agreed because people. We have to take also the analysis. If Team Haaland only went for greed, he wouldn't have played in Dortmund. He would have gone to the Premiership, would he have triple his money. When he went to Salzburg, he could have gone to Juventus and he would have tripled his money. So, but Gab is absolutely right. This is also a financial deal and so on and so on. But I think that they've always shown that they're going where the player can develop. Of course, there is a time when you have to go for money and titles and development at the same time. But I spent 5 days in Dortmund and I spoke to everyone. And I don't think there is anybody in Dortmund who knows where Erling Haaland would play next summer.
Jan, can I ask you? Let me ask you this. So we were watching Haaland at the weekend against Bayern. And to me, he looked a little frustrated. Now, what's he going to be this time next year? I mean, is he going to be able to last? And the only thing we don't know, we can talk about his dad and the agent. What does he actually think of this? Is he the type of guy that's going to go, you know what? I want to go now. I can't do this for another 12 months. Is he the type that's going to do that? Or is he just frustrated and actually he's under their spell? He's actually doing what they tell him. Which kind of way is it?
No. He's not at all. He is a very independent guy, but it's a fair question when you see him play. But that is the part of his play. He was the same against Frankfurt when they won 5-2. He made 3 assists and he scored 2 goals. He was the same way when in the first cup game he scored 3 against Wiesbaden. That is a part of him that is his strength. And it may be his weakness, but I think that he is quite there. I think that is the main strength of him, how he uses temperament to kind of balance that. But we all know he's a 20-year-old. He has to score goals. He has to win games. But I think that when you see him play, he knows where he's here. He's, at the moment, he is at Dortmund. I think that is his great strength. He is always there, and he's not under the spell of his dad or Raiola. If Raiola was so bad at everybody, says he is. Why has the boy then played at Salzburg and Dortmund and not gone for the big money moves?
A lot more on this, of course, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That's available now. Their special guest, Jan Åge Fjørtoft. Full programme of Bundesliga matches in week 2. We'll see Leipzig play host to Stuttgart. Of course, looking to bounce back after that disappointing defeat on the opening day. That's on Friday. And then on Saturday, Borussia Dortmund away against Freiburg. Bayer Leverkusen take on Borussia Mönchengladbach. That is on ABC. And then on Sunday, it's Bayern Munich against Cologne. Just a reminder, all of those games available on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Before the show, we showed you the Premier League matches, boys, and asked which one in particular were you looking forward to after what we saw in the opening week. Stevie, you went Arsenal-Chelsea.
I did, yes.
Lukaku, of course, could play.
Well, to be honest, I was kind of more looking at the Arsenal angle.
Yep.
You tell them.
One of the teams who were at a promoted side in Brentford.
Yes.
And it was always going to be a test. But you talk about failing miserably. So I'm interested to see how they bounce back.
Right.
And actually, the question I'm asking myself is, can they bounce back? I mean, number one, they're playing against Chelsea, so it might not even be in their hands.
Right.
Two, am I confident that all the questions that they had after they played last weekend against Brentford, where they got overrun, they got outfought, they got outplayed. You know, on occasions, it looked like Arsenal was the side that had come up and not Brentford. And I come to the conclusion that
they're not very good.
They're not very good.
No, right.
I can't find a positive thing to come up with that they're going to do against Chelsea.
Right.
And in fact, the fact they're at home might be even worse, because if they start the game badly, the impression I'm getting right now is Arsenal fans are after their blood. So,
ooh,
I just really? I can't wait. They're after everybody's blood, the players, the manager, the coaching staff.
Wow.
They're all going crazy on social media.
Oh, yeah, you're all over social media.
And I'm not even on social media.
So how do you know?
How do you know?
I know it, but that tells you how bad it is.
Through osmosis, you're thinking.
I am worried for Arsenal.
Meanwhile, Craig, you've picked Manchester City, Norwich. Why?
Oh, well, see, you phrased that question to him wrong.
All right.
Right, it was, the question was asked
by... I just won't bother asking any questions.
Well, the question was asked by production.
Right.
What team are you looking forward to watching to see the difference in the second week? It wasn't what fixture.
Okay,
because do you think I'm looking forward to Manchester City and Norwich?
I don't know. I don't know when you've ever looked forward to anything.
Well, I'm not looking forward to that as a spectacle. We saw what Liverpool did to them last week.
So you're looking forward to seeing how Manchester City responds?
Now you've clicked.
There we go.
I'm looking to see what Man City are going to take to the pitch after a average but best performance last week.
Okay.
At best. I'm expecting it to be a whopping. When I looked at all the fixtures, I was like,
I'm surprised you even looked.
Well, I did. And Man U are playing Southampton, so that's a story. But they're cannon fodder as well this season, Southampton. So just because they got beat last week, I'm looking to see what Man City do. Not looking forward to the fixture, though. As a game.
Meanwhile, Jan, you've taken it away from the Premier League. You're of course looking for Borussia Dortmund's response after losing against Bayern.
But they always lose.
Yeah, but the reason I did that, Dan, it was like Friday. Bayern lost 2 points at Gladbach, and they should have had two penalties against them. And the whole football world. Oh, there could be another champion this season in Germany after 9 times Bayern Munich. And the next day, they're winning 5-2 against my old club, Eintracht Frankfurt. And Eintracht Frankfurt were very, very bad, but they still scored 2 goals. But Germany went into frantic. Dortmund will win the league. Dortmund will win the league. They got the worst squad. They're the 6th best squad in Germany, Lothar Matthäus said, in the front page all over the place. And then, sadly enough, then we had the Super Cup on Tuesday, and Bayern took out their best players, winning 3-1, and they were happy as Larry winning a title again. So the reason I'm looking forward to this is they're going to a place with Freiburg, not very well-known team outside Germany, but still a tricky place to go, and you will see how they respond. Because that Dortmund team, yes, they are good. Royce is good, Haaland is good, Reina is good on his day, and so on. Then going backwards on that pitch, they got past, like, he wouldn't got into a Norwegian team. I'm 100% sure. Axel Witsel used to be good. Slow, unbelievable slow. And this is the guys who are going to win the championship. So they need a response this Saturday, also after that loss against Bayern Munich. So I'm looking forward to that game as well.
But did anybody take Lothar Matthäus seriously? I mean, I'm not being funny. He was a great player, right?
No,
I'll give you that. An absolutely wonderful player. But I don't think I've heard as much drivel in all my life.
Yeah.
5th or 6th best. I know the squad's not as strong as last year. But, you know, to come out with nonsense, surely nobody's taking him serious.
But Lothar, first of all, they take him serious after 150 games and 25 World Cup games. They're taking him serious.
Yeah, but he's not playing anymore, Jan. He's not playing. He's a pundit now, right? And that's just utter drivel.
As we are. But what he tried to say, which is fair, that from 13 to, when you read the article, from 13 till 20, Leipzig will be better, Dortmund will be better, but it doesn't matter. Because the starting 11 of Bayern Munich is brilliant. They maybe have 12 or 13 players, but we should be aware of that situation at Bayern, because a couple of injuries, they won't be as good as they used to. But let Lothar be the symbol of the wishful thinking that maybe in our time, before we get grandchildren, that there will be another champion in Germany than Bayern Munich.
Craig does have a grandchild. Anyway.
Yeah, see, that's a classic case, isn't it? Oh, I played 125 times for Germany. What he must be saying is correct. Utter nonsense.
Let's take it.
Utter nonsense.
Okay, I'll not say nothing.
No, I'll say it.
He's a good pundit.
Meanwhile, stop what you're doing.
Not coming out with crap like that. He's not.
No, he's not.
He's not a good pundit, right? Oh. Trust me, he's not.
No, you can't see that.
Meanwhile, Gab, you're taking us to Spain.
Yeah, and I should specify, in case you're wondering, I've played exactly zero times for Germany. But I am taking it to Spain. I'm taking it to Barcelona. I want to see what Ronald Koeman can do with this squad now, because I am a frequent critic of Ronald Koeman. But for 80 minutes or so, or 70 minutes, let's say, everybody came together and they played really, really well against Real Sociedad. And I will give him credit for this. He's very good at insulating his players from all the nonsense that happens off the pitch and Laporta and Messi and pay cuts and all the guys are trying to move out. I really liked what I saw. I loved seeing Pedri perform. Depay, I think, is looking good in that role, but I need to see more of him through the middle. Braithwaite did it too. I just want to see, what is the next step? What are you going to give me next? Because I think it's going to be week on week, and against Athletic Bilbao, you know, that away from home at San Mamés, I think that's another tricky game for them. Certainly an uphill start to the season in terms of opponents.
Good stuff, guys. Just a reminder, as always, Extra Time is available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and check it out. Week two of La Liga kicks off with Real Betis taking on Cadiz. That's on Friday at 3 p.m. And then on Saturday, Athletic Bilbao against Barcelona. Certainly the eye-catching game. That is at 3:30. You can join us, of course, before that game for everything you need to know ahead of kickoff. And then on Sunday, Atletico Madrid against Elche. And it's Levante against Real Madrid. All the games available on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A brand new Serie A season kicks off this weekend. Gab has got Juventus to win it all. Runner-up AC Milan, Atalanta third, and the defending champions all the way down in fourth. Ciro Mobley to be your top scorer. Chiesa to be the player of the year. Gab, let's start off, shall we, discussing the defending champions Inter Milan. To say it hasn't been an ideal summer is somewhat of an understatement.
You think? look, I all of this comes with a big asterisk, right?
Okay.
Because the transfer window is still open, and what we know is that Serie A teams, especially now that their COVID hit and whatever, will likely do a bunch of business late. But that said, if you're Inter, you're replacing Antonio Conte with Simone Inzaghi. All due respect, not an upgrade. Romelu Lukaku with Edin Dzeko. All due respect, not an upgrade. Ashraf Hakimi with Denzel Dumfries, not an upgrade. Christian Eriksen, presumably not back, with Hakan Çalhanoğlu. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I think it's a weird situation to be in after the season they had, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Inter to repeat. Remember, too, that this was Conte's second season. And Simone Inzaghi will be a new coach in a new club. So I think it's not impossible, but very difficult.
How disappointing is this just in general for fans of Serie A that the defending champions are in this state?
Look, think about fans of Serie A. As you know, football fans have a lot of schadenfreude. I think fans of other clubs are going to be like, ha, 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 look at Inter. Let's all laugh at Suning. Let's all laugh at Suning. Ha, ha. Come on. I think overall for Serie A, it's obviously not a good situation when an owner runs into these problems. And as I reiterated before, yes, Inter were in a bad financial situation before. They inherited a lot of bad debt from a lot of stupid decisions over the years. But They would have been fine if not for the fact that Suning suddenly found themselves in this gigantic cash crunch for reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with the game and have to do with events in China and their parent company and the Chinese government. So, you know, that hit them hard. But Inter tried to be positive. They tried to retrench. They tried to be competitive. There are other people who can step up this year for them, whether it's Lautaro Martinez, who should be getting a new contract very, very soon, Nicolò Barella, for whom the best have yet to come, Stefano Sensi, hopefully, finally fully fit. So there are reasons for why Inter, if all these guys step up, I think Inter can definitely compete. But it is a big ask.
Meanwhile, for Juve, it's all about the return of Allegri, isn't it, Gam?
Certainly that's the headline, but I think you also need to throw in the acquisition of Manuel Locatelli, who is a player that they were really desperately crying out for last year when they had Andrea Pirlo, a midfielder who can actually pass the ball and kind of be your midfield general. I think they have that with Locatelli in terms of personality, certainly, and he's young and he's growing. Obviously, Cristiano's back. He's out of contract on June 30th. We'll see if he's there when the season starts. I expect he will be. But keep your eyes peeled on the relationship between him and Allegri. It's not lost on anybody that, you know, by April of his first year with Juve, Allegri said, nah, I'm going to leave at the end of the season. And it's not all down to Cristiano, but, you know, clearly when you've got a star of that magnitude with certain pros and cons to his game, at this stage of his career, in his final season, it is a delicate balancing act. But look, I'm excited for all the other stars they have, from Federico Chiesa to Dejan Kulusevski, Weston McKennie, they hang on to him. And I think they grew as a team last year in many ways, even though obviously in terms of results, they didn't.
Milan, of course, exceeded all expectations last year. Top of the table for quite a bit of the season, Gab. And you think they're going to finish second this time round?
Yeah, I think they're gonna continue putting their faith in kids. They're on the verge of bringing in Bakayoko, who I think is somebody that they need in midfield, take some of the pressure off of Frank Kessie, who I think felt like he played almost every game last year. They have a really strong midfield with those guys, and obviously Bennacer as well, who we've talked about. Calabria is going to face some competition from Alessandro Florenzi, who, of course, hey, look, did I mention? He won the Euros. Did we forget about that? he's coming in on loan from Roma. I think that'll help. And I think Olivier Giroud can take some of Zlatan's minutes. Nobody expects Zlatan to play every minute of every game. It's unrealistic. And so I think it was important to have another big veteran, genuine striker in the mix. And then it's going to be up to the pieces around them. But there's a lot of young players there. This was the youngest team in Serie A last year. And I expect them to continue to grow.
And finally, Gab, there'll be more attention, won't there, be put on Roma, considering that new chap they have in charge?
Yeah, some fella named Mourinho, something like that. I'm really curious to see how things work out. He won his first game of the season in the Europa Conference League. And, of course, he said, oh, for me, this is like the Champions League. Okay, Jose, let's see what happens. Look, they lost Edin Dzeko. They added Tammy Abraham, who I think a lot of people will be keeping an eye on to see. Jose knows exactly what type of player he's getting. He knows Tammy Abraham very, very well. So I think that is a conscious choice they make. But for me, the big news, in addition to Jose, is Nicolò Zaniolo coming back from injury and being fully fit. We're talking about, you know, the most talented youngster in Serie A by a country mile. A guy who I think would have definitely started on the Euro 2020 winning Italy side. Have I mentioned they won the Euros? I think maybe once or twice.
Yes.
And then up and down the side, Rui Patricio in goal. You know, the concern with Mourinho is, can he keep it together? He's flattered to deceive, but, you know, and he's had issues in the past. But I think if he can certainly also deliver a team, and at some point, you know, he's gonna remember who he is. The talent, I think, for Roma is there, and I think they have a legit shot at a top four finish.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, as always, for watching.
You got some good goals.
You're not a gambler, are you, Stevie?
Oh, no chance.
No, no, imagine you losing money.
No chance.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig and Stevie here in the studio. Jan Olafjordtoff. Jan, where are you? Where are you? In a hotel somewhere?
Yes, I'm in Munich after 1.5 years not being able to travel. I'm doing an Europa tour, so just to travel.
Oh, lovely. Oh, very nice. Where's your next stop?
Salzburg.
Oh. Jan, the first question is for you.
What? Per diems are flying in.
Per diems, yeah.
Per diems.
What team would you advise Erling Haaland to join next year, Jan, if money wasn't an issue? Where should he go? Frankfurt.
Whoa, that is a good question. I would like him to go to Swindon Town.
Yes.
Because they are struggling now. They're going all the way from Premier League when I was there, and they had a trouble with their money and their owners. So I would like him to go to Swindon Town.
Where would you go, Stevie?
Barnsley.
If money wasn't an option, you're Erling Haaland. Go anywhere you want.
Man City.
Man City.
Yeah.
Over Real Madrid. Over Barcelona.
Well, right now. We were talking about him being there for 10 years. If you think of Man City, do you think anything's going to change in the next 10 years
right.
at Man City? All they're going to do, whether Pep's there or not, they're going to get the next best manager in who's available,
right.
who will be great. They're always going to have money. They're always going to be signing big players. As opposed to you take a chance going to Real Madrid because of... What, 3-4 years
ago? The history and everything that goes along with Real Madrid and the Bernabeu wouldn't influence it at all.
If it's down to football, right, you go to Man City.
Right.
If it's about history, then that changes the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Barcelona and... Well, years and years ago, it used to be... Italy was the big draw.
Yes.
Most of the top players at the time gravitated from France and England and wherever around Europe to Juventus and Milan. We saw, you know... Stevie's old mate Ian Rush went there.
Yeah. Gaza going there.
Gaza, but then before that, all the big Dutch players, Rijkaard, Hullet.
Yeah. The Germans would go to Inter.
Yeah.
Jurgen and all his mates.
Yeah.
And then it became, not that nobody ever went to Barca, but it was Italy was more prominent. And then for a long period, it was Madrid and Barcelona.
Yes. Yeah.
Just because they were the go-to destinations. Now, they are still the go-to destinations in terms of the big clubs, but in terms of...
Where would you go?
It's a difficult one. If it's a destination and he believes he can it'll turn around and it'll get better and they'll sign Mbappe and all this, it would be Madrid.
Right.
However, that could be a bit of a pipe dream. Yep.
Sure.
So if it's just if it's football, it's Man City.
Stevie,
the problem is that if you go, he will always end up in England at some time. He's born in England, his dad has played in England, so you always end up there. So I think that the thing that you have to think of is who will be there. Like the boys are saying, next summer, where will they be? Will they have money? Will they have the right manager and all that? So it's a tough decision. But I would love to. If I was a player, I would. Well, if you have the chance to play for Barcelona, Real Madrid once in your lifetime, you should do that.
Yeah. Is anybody fed up with Erling Haaland yet? Getting there.
We'll see.
That was a kind of...
The season started, Champions League will start soon.
That response you gave me was a kind of... It's getting there.
It's
I'm
bubbling.
Kind of there.
It's bubbling.
Yeah.
Stevie, which...
Jadon Sancho-esque from last year. Now it's Erling Haaland.
Do you remember the Neymar Paul Pogba days? They were long days. They were long summers. Stevie, with two of your favourite players on the move, which signing will be more beneficial to their team's success? Ramos to PSG or Lukaku to Chelsea?
Oh,
Lukaku to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because you know he's going to play. I'm not so sure. Ramos hardly played any games last season.
Right.
There's no question he's lost a yard. So
Lukaku will play and get goals.
Yes, Lukaku will play and Lukaku will get goals. So I'll go with Lukaku.
Craig, would you rather be a squad player for a top-level team like City or PSG, or the star and captain of a mid-table team like Aston Villa? Good question.
Well, I think I'd rather play.
Right?
Yeah, I think I'd rather play because it would become extremely frustrating.
Right.
I mean, it depends if you just want to... If you want to bag a few medals without really making much of an impact and earn money, depends what you want to do.
Right.
But most of the guys from our era wanted to play and they would move to play.
What about you, Jan?
No, but I had this conversation some years ago with Henning Berg, as I remember, the defender for Manchester United. And he was desperate to leave Manchester United and because he felt he didn't get enough games. And I told him that people like me playing for Swindon, Barnsley, Middlesbrough and Sheffield United, I'm going to move clubs all the time. But you're in a time in your career, you have to stay. Because if you get 30, 40% of the game, you still can build on it later. And he got the treble. He got a treble the year after, and I think that is depending the age where you are. I mean, you shouldn't do that. But at the end of your career, like Choupo-Moting now, Choupo-Moting was also starring at PSG. Now he's also starring at Bayern Munich. I think he's doing the right decision.
Here's one, Origi. You got a question, Origi. He's what, 23, 24?
We haven't talked about Origi for a while and your dislike of him.
No, we are. 23. So it just popped up in his head.
Origi, honestly. It did, because if you're asking that question, he's the perfect example.
Right.
What do you do?
Shaqiri?
Do you sit in the background? Well, I mean, Shaqiri gave it a go at Bayern, couldn't get in their team, and so he just decided, you know what, I'll do the same, but
I'll go to Stoke.
I think Origi's the best one because of his age.
Right.
24 years old, you know you're not playing.
Right.
You know you're only playing in the Carabao Cup, in the FA Cup. You might get a game in the Champions League in the qualifying rounds if they play a Mickey Mouse team, but you're 24 years old.
Wow. Sticking with Liverpool, since all three of you...
Goalies.
What?
No, I'm just thinking one. Before I ask the question, Zach Steffen.
Right, at Manchester
US City. Number one, yeah, but maybe not for long.
Yeah, when do you think?
Because the lad from Revolution played really well, and he's not going to play ahead of Edinson.
Yeah,
Turner, his name is,
So, what decision do you want to make? There's a World Cup in 2022, which they probably will qualify through that very difficult hex. And the World Cup here in 2026 in the United States.
Yeah.
Make decisions. Sit in the bench, sit in your backside, and lose your number one spot.
Since all three of you have played at Anfield, is it true that referees are heavily influenced by the crowd in that stadium? Will the return of fans help Liverpool? Jan?
I think I don't like the heavily word, but I think that referees, they are influenced by that. And I think that we saw the stats during the pandemic that there were more away wins, absolutely. And I think that Liverpool, I mean... It's the atmosphere at Liverpool, I mean, is second to none. I think you have a bit the same here in Germany with some stadiums like in Signal Iduna Park with that yellow wall, getting the influence on the referee. So, yes, I think it's a human being, even that the referee tried to avoid that. But when 80,000 or 60,000 shouting, it's easier to give a penalty. Absolutely.
I only remember when I was playing that it was more Man United. Are they more Man United hate? Solskjaer.
How much to join that group?
But back when Ferguson was the manager, Sir Alex, used to be not Anfield, to my memory was you'll never get a penalty at the Stretford End.
Right.
And they always will. And referees were influenced by that manager's gravitas and pressure and also that big stadium. I don't really remember it so much at Liverpool, to be honest.
But I think it was more. I think it's a good point that Sir Alex Ferguson was the one more than Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I don't remember us ever getting a penalty decision and going, that's a joke, that's never a penalty.
But really?
Well, you played for Liverpool.
Yeah.
You played
Liverpool. I don't remember. Listen, we're not stupid, right? There'll be decisions during a game where you go, can't believe we got. You just gave a foul to us.
Right.
I don't remember a penalty in particular.
Okay.
Thinking, I can't believe he gave that. There's no question, there is an influence.
To all the guys, would you have made a move to a big club even if you didn't like the manager? That's a good question.
No. Mm.
No?
I'll tell you why, because I moved away from at least one club because I didn't like the manager.
Which club was that?
I didn't like the politics. Not saying. No point. If you're not going to have a relationship with a manager, you're
right.
Going to work it's not international football. You're not pitching up every 3 months. You're in 6 days a week.
Yeah. But I suppose the theory is you see it out until they get sacked or move on or whatever.
But you're signing. Would you have made a move to a
club?
Makes
that sound dead easy, yeah. Didn't it?
So you go to a club, you don't like the manager.
Well, it is. It really is.
No, you've got to factor
well done,
that.
You have to know you haven't changed.
You have to factor that in. I'm sorry, but you do, because you've got to work with him and he's right. Going to work with you.
Stevie?
No chance. You don't like the manager?
No.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
No. Jan?
Well, I went to one club and I didn't like the manager, but I know the process were already going on to sack him, so I went there.
Wow. Who was that, Jan?
I would say it was Craig, I can't tell you.
Oh, look at that. Look at the smile, knowing smiles. Would you ever consider...
Hey, by the way, it's easy to look up. Just look up. Look up where he was.
Oh, it's the magic the on the computer.
See where the manager's got to sack. I saw him on the computer before we came in. He was typing something. He was like that.
Yeah, he got locked out with his password.
I got locked out. He had to change my
the
password.
The finger. Like, there's none of this.
Just look it up.
After three attempts, phone the help desk.
Is that what you were doing?
Aye.
I wonder why you were on the computer.
Jan, would you ever consider giving up your shirt number to an incoming superstar joining your club?
I played at Middlesbrough and I had the number 9 shirt and in came Fabrizio Ravanelli just winning the Champions League.
Right.
So I was clever. I went to the manager and said, listen, could I have 23 next year? So I wasn't taking her away.
Preemptive strike.
Myself. Yeah, it was. But I love my shirt and the shirt numbers was very important. So that I feel bad about it now.
You know this story, don't you? That,
There's a story involve a certain former Middlesbrough player.
Yes. You know this story, don't you?
Remind me.
So talking about giving shirts up, I never gave my shirt up. It was given up for me.
Yes.
So I walked back into pre-season at Derby County and I walked into the training ground and Robbie Musto.
Robbie
Musto was sitting in the training ground with my number 8 training kit on.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I went, so I put the old steely face on and I went,
that must be difficult.
Yeah. I went, what the hell are you doing? You know what Robbie's like, he's such a nice guy. I said, what the hell are you doing? That's my training kit. He went, they told me I could take number 8. Right, so I was like, forget it. But you know the thing is, he wasn't even signed.
Right. As a trialist?
No, he wasn't on trial. John Gregory had promised him there was a contract for him.
Right.
Don't ask. Have you ever... Somebody tweet Robbie Musto about this, because he's still got a beanie bonnet. He was promised the earth by certain people at Derby.
Right.
And then it never materialised. But he was given my number 8.
Right.
And he thought I was very angry at him.
Is John Gregory maybe the answer to the question before?
No, it wasn't, because I didn't sign
If it had been John Gregory, he would have said...
John Gregory left Derby
don't
before me.
That.
Oh, OK.
OK. But yeah, Musty. You know Musty, Mr. Innocent?
Yes.
He thought I was going to chin him. Get that freaking kit.
Stevie, I don't imagine you care about numbers, do you?
Well, I'll be honest.
Only the amount of beers he's got.
If somebody was coming in,
yes.
They would go, by the way, your new number is whatever.
Yeah.
There you go, there's your strap.
There you go.
Just be told.
That was it.
Regardless.
Were you number 4 forever at Liverpool?
Till I left.
Yes, obviously.
No, that's not true.
Why?
Well, because you've just asked me if somebody came in and took my number.
What were you in those heady days of the sort of 99...
Oh, the resies and all.
93, 94, slightly...
No, I was 4.
Slightly out of shape.
Add it to 4.
before you went to Sheffield?
Before he left.
I had four till I left.
Four till he left.
Oh, right. But
there you go.
But Liverpool was magnificent when we grew up, because they had the same number like for ages.
Yeah.
Emily Hughes, number 6, you know, yeah. And Stevie 4, and number 7 was Magic. Yeah. And all that.
And Barnes was 10.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Final question. Would Craig either support Manchester United for the rest of his life or get Stevie's haircut every time he goes to the barbers?
Oh, his haircut all day. It's not that bad. It's a number.
You know what?
Number two, number three.
I would get my haircut as well.
Wow.
It's grown back.
Support Man United.
Hey, look at it.
Yeah, it's coming, almost little.
It's coming back.
It's getting out of control,
hey,
isn't it?
Have you had it confirmed by your regular hairdresser that you got the numbers wrong?
Correct.
it's normally a 5,
is
right?
Is it normally a 5?
I walked in all ballsy. I went, Mona, I want you to answer me this question.
Yes.
Do you do a 2 on the side?
Yep.
She went, yes.
Yes.
I went, do you do a 3 on the top? She went, no. And I left it. I went, okay, done.
That's it.
5 or 6 on the
That's
top.
That's definitely a 5, isn't it? That is it. Thank you very much.
And he's blaming the guy at that place.
Yes, I know, the poor guy.
He should have known better.
Poor guy. He should have known better.
Aye.
He's doing what he's told.
Are you sure it's a number 2 you want?
And that's it. Yeah, and enjoy your travels. We'll be back tomorrow for more, of course, looking ahead to some of those big games across Europe.